From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As Dr. Cairns studies the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's preaching a message called Seven Essential Views of Christ, based on Matthew 16, verses 13 through 39. In response to Peter's confession, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," the Lord Jesus replied, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Here is the indisputable security of the church, for Christ is her foundation. As we'll see, he is also the King of Grace, bringing in his people through the spread of the gospel. We'll hear the exposition of these truths in a few moments. But first, in today's hot topic, Dr. Cairns declares that homosexuals are the real bigots.
Currently, we're enduring a fierce onslaught from the homosexual lobby. They're attacking on all fronts. Here in Greenville, South Carolina, I've seen a huge billboard carrying the message that we shouldn't confuse bigotry with the Bible. It's paid for by the sodomite lobby, and it tries to make the point that the Bible isn't against the homosexual lifestyle. To oppose homosexuality is not biblical, it's mere bigotry. So now the sodomites have arrogated to themselves the right to tell us what the Bible teaches, and to make up the message according to their own preferences, and then label all who hold on to what the Bible really teaches as bigots. Make no mistake about it. The Bible utterly condemns homosexuality. It even states that no one who practices homosexuality can be saved. He may repent of his sin and be delivered from his perversion by saving grace, but as I pointed out in a commentary a little time ago, he cannot hold on to his homosexuality and be a Christian. This is not bigotry, it is plain Bible teaching. I'm not now going to repeat the evidence that I set out on Friday the 2nd of November. Sufficient to say that in 1 Corinthians 6, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and Romans chapter 1, the Bible clearly identifies homosexual men of every sort and places them under the judgment of God's law and the curse of God's wrath. The New Testament in no way softens the verdict of the Old Testament that homosexuality is an abomination to God. I repeat, this is not bigotry, it's what the Bible teaches, and anyone who tells you otherwise is deceiving you. Now let me tell you who the real bigots are. They're not Bible-believing Christians who, rejecting the sodomite lifestyle as anti-biblical, still seek to win homosexuals for Christ, and who rejoice to see them set free from the satanic perversion that holds them as slaves. The real bigots are the loud apologists of the sodomite lobby. These are the people who want to keep homosexuals enslaved in their evil practice. These are the people who invade churches and interrupt services. Recently it was reported that they invaded a Roman Catholic service, and neither the police nor the Roman Catholic diocese will press charges. In other words, these bigots can break the law with impunity. That was made clear a few years ago when a sodomite army arrived at a Baptist church in San Francisco to protest the message of a speaker against their perversion. They physically and verbally abused those seeking entrance into the church, and kept up a wild din as the service proceeded. They hurled missiles at the church, breaking windows and putting the people in the church in actual physical danger. Worshippers could hardly leave the church because of the lawless and violent mob awaiting them outside. The police were called, but refused to intervene in any way. the Christians could get absolutely no protection from their assailants. No one was ever arrested or charged in connection with the incident. Now, the very movement that engages in such vicious attacks wants to pose as victims of bigots who misunderstand the Bible. It's a lie. The real truth is that America is being held to ransom by a bunch of homosexual bigots and their political fellow travelers, people who are willing to trash the Bible and all who believe it to defend their perverted lifestyle. It's time we identified the real bigots and called them to account before the law, instead of cosseting them as the victims they most certainly are not.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you have tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the program format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then we give you our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we'd be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's relatively easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Please don't forget the word radio. That's ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
When you come to verse 19, you will see that he is the King of Grace. Time will only allow me to mention these final revelations that Christ gives of his own person and work. But he says to Peter, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind in earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose in earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now these are the words of the King planning the spread of the gospel. There is no reference to any papal supremacy in Peter. What he's saying is, I'm putting the keys in your hand. What is a key for? A key is for opening a door. Peter opened the door of the gospel to the Jews. It was Peter who opened it to the Gentiles. Binding and loosing here has nothing to do with either forgiving or retaining sins. Binding is certainly no fit description of the non-forgiveness of sins. No, it's opening a door of knowledge. We have Christ's own words for that. Luke 11, verse 52, he says, woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering you hindered. That's what the key means. It's the key of knowledge. It's the key of gospel truth. And he says to Peter, I'm giving you the keys to open the door of knowledge, the knowledge of truth and of eternal life. And in chapter 18, verse 18, what is here said to Peter is extended to all the apostles, for this was their ministry, opening doors with the key of the knowledge of the gospel. Here is the King of Grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is planning the spread of the gospel. He is still the King of Grace. He is still the one who distributes among his people the peculiar gifts, opportunities, responsibilities, and duties to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a lot I would like to say in that, if time permitted. But I will just say this. To have a word from the King of Grace giving us any part in the spread of the gospel is the greatest privilege that a man can have. Peter was not a poor man relative to those around him. He was a fisherman. He had his own boat there for his own business. we know that he had a home in the big city, in Capernaum. In the eyes of the world, Peter was a man of substance and a man with prospects. But Jesus came to him one day and he says, Peter, leave it all and follow me. And I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And here he says to him, Peter, I'm putting in your hand a key that will open doors that are now locked. Behind those doors are the dark habitations of cruelty. Behind those doors you'll find the blackness of ignorance and superstition and pagan worship, the wickedness of sin. But I'm giving you a key to open the door with this key of knowledge, to let the light of the gospel flood in, to bring men and women of every class and every color and every culture and every creed into the joy of my salvation. And I want to tell you, for Simon Peter, that was the greatest privilege he could ever have. It is said that Mr. Spurgeon told his student ministers, if God has called you to be a preacher, do not stoop to be a king. The greatest privilege a man can have. And if the Lord would burden your heart to serve him in however humble a capacity, remembering that David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. If God gives you the humblest place in the service of Christ, in the spread of the gospel, then grasp it with joy and give him the very best of your energy, the best of your time. Some of you young people do not plan on giving God the little end piece of your life. When you've used all up in the frivolities and follies of the world, then you'll give God what's left. Give of your best to the Master. The best of your time, the best of your talent, the best of your ability, the best that God has given to you when He has saved you and led you into that assurance of Himself, then be willing to serve Him in the job where you are, in any place where He'll send you, in any capacity that He'll give you. Here's the King of Grace planning the spread of the gospel. In verse 21, at the beginning, he speaks of himself as the sacrifice for sin. He must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things, and be killed. As Daniel said in chapter 9, 26, not for himself, Messiah the Prince dying, but not for himself. Peter couldn't understand that. He was happy to have a Christ, the Son of the living God. He was happy to have a gospel. He was happy to have the keys of the kingdom to go and open the doors to men and women. But the thought of a dying Christ, of a blood-shedding Christ, was far from his mind. It's still far from the minds of many. But men and women, let me tell you, apart from the blood atonement of Jesus Christ, there's no key. There's no gospel. There's no Christ. There's no salvation. He had to die. Now, when you stop to think of it, why must he go and die? Why? He said, no man can take my life from me. He's the only one who could make that statement. Read the Gospels and see how many times men tried to lay hands on Christ and they couldn't do it. They could not do it. and he didn't raise a violent storm of opposition to them. He didn't whip people up to defend them. He didn't run around with bodyguards. They just could not lay hands on him. No man could take his life from him. So why must he go? Well, here is the imperative of divine love. I must die. For having loved my own which are in the world, I love them to the end. Here's the imperative of God's eternal purpose. But most of all, here's the imperative of God's justice. Christ had to die if God were ever to save sinners. He must go lay down his life, and that he did. But thank God, death is not the end, because at the end of verse 21, he says he would rise again. He would rise again. Up from the grave he arose. He is the conqueror of death. Now get the self-revelation. The Lord Jesus is saying, I'm the sacrifice for your sins, but I am the conqueror of death. That's why we sang William Williams' great hymn this morning, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. I think it's one of the most thrilling hymns ever written. I've often spoken to you about listening to the singing before a Welsh international rugby match. For those of you who are uneducated foreigners, rugby is the greatest game in the world. In Britain we say soccer, only we don't call it soccer. That's football. But you've appropriated that name to some Philistine entertainment over here, so we've got to accept you say soccer. Is a gentleman's game played by hooligans. Rugby is a hooligan's game played by gentlemen. I don't even know if that's true anymore. But when I was a lot younger, Wales had some of the greatest rugby players in the world. They're not quite so good nowadays. They'll maybe come back. But whether their playing was good or whether it stank, Cardiff Arms Park held 58,000 people. And why they did this, I have no idea. But the Welsh loved to sing. And these 58,000 Welsh men, before the opening whistle, they would sing, Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. And that was the greatest singing I've ever heard. And when they came to those words, death of death and hell's destruction. It's just William's paraphrase of the words of Hosea the prophet. Death of death and hell's destruction. That's the name that's given to Christ. He's the conqueror of death. We have heard this morning about our sister Marg Keller going to be with Christ. I wrote to her son David after he let us know about his mother's death. And I said, David, now that your mother's gone, I think of the words of D.L. Moody. When he said, when you hear that D.L. Moody is dead, do not believe it. Because I will never have been more alive in my life than at that moment. Christ has risen. And as Paul says, he has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. What is death for a believer now? It is the separation of body and soul, but it is not the separation of either body or soul from Christ. The separation of body and soul from Christ is the second death, which the Bible calls hell. Condemnation. But there's none of that for a Christian. When the body is lying in the grave, it is just sown as a seed, awaiting a glorious resurrection. And the soul is with Christ, which is very far better. Why? He's the conqueror of death.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.